listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
It is the third and final hour of Miller and Moulton, at least along the network. In Lake City and surrounding areas, Tampa, St. Pete, Port Charlotte, Venice, halfway home for those in the 239. On National Donut Day, Miller and Moulton, the Florida Sports Network. FloridaSportsNetwork.com. Make sure you vote in our poll questions. Dunkin' or Krispy Kreme and or your favorite donut. Keith Smith covers the NBA for a living. He does so for Spot Rack, and he's part of the NBA front office show on YouTube. Follow Keith on Twitter, Keith Smith NBA, Keith Smith NBA. Keith, it's David and Mark. Thanks for doing this again. Hope you're well. How are you?
I'm doing well. And for the record, it's Krispy Kreme for donuts, but Dunkin' for coffee.
See?
Can't do that Dunkin' coffee. I'll go Starbucks on the coffee with you, but I know I lose that battle because, well, the Dunkin' folks get hot and bothered by that. Should the Heat be hot and bothered right now, or can they just chalk this up to a horrific night of shooting?
Yeah, I think it is a lot of that. They really crashed back to earth shooting-wise, and that's tough. I think they ran out of steam. You know, they got behind early. They had to push really hard to make it a game. And then I think they just didn't have the legs to finish off that comeback. You could see that a lot in the shooting. They were missing short. Then it was like overcompensating, missing long, and just, you know, bad night of shooting. But, you know, they were able to make it a game for quite a bit. So I think this is still going to be a good, long, fun, interesting series.
Well, that's where I was going to go next. We talked to you before the Eastern Conference Finals. And you said, oh, I think this is going to be a seven-game war. You reluctantly even picked Boston. You thought that was going to be a tough series. You ended up being obviously right on. What was your gut feeling before tip last night?
Yeah, I picked seven in this one, too. You know, everything on paper says it should be like Denver in five. But, you know, the Heat were supposed to lose to the Bucks in four or five. They're supposed to lose to the Knicks. They're supposed to lose to the Celtics in four or five. They don't care about what the paper says, right? They just want to play basketball. Get out there, let's throw it up, and let's play. And I think, you know, Denver is a good team, but they go through these periods sometimes where they just kind of they throw the ball all over the gym. They don't get back on defense. That they have some poor shooting nights themselves. And I think Miami is set up to take advantage of that. I think it'll be a long series. I think Denver will win, but I do think Miami's going to make them work for it.
All right, when you look at the free throw disparity, there's not a lot of people questioning how the fouls were called, but Miami's got to do a better job of getting to the rim. I thought that Butler had a game where he wasn't effective trying to go to the basket. He's got to lead them to the rim if they're going to get more attempts from the free throw line. Is that correct?
Yeah, 100%. He's got to find a way to get into the teeth of that defense and either set guys up where they'll draw fouls or, you know, he'll do it himself. I thought they played a little bit of a passive game there. They were very content to take a lot of jump shots. And I get it. It's worked. They've shot very well over the course of these playoffs so far. But, yeah, they're going to need Jimmy Butler to get in there, probably have one of those games where he, you know, himself takes 12, you know, 15 free throws, something like that. And the challenge is going to be, you know, Denver showed him a few different looks. They put size on him with Aaron Gordon. They put, the kind of quicker perimeter guys and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Bruce Brown on him. And they're making him work. And, you know, that's the limitations right now for Miami, right? He's got to create so much of the offense. And when it's not him, it really falls to Bam Adebayo. And, you know, then you're asking him to do that in addition to guard Nikola Jokic. That gets to be a big ask. That's where if Tyler Hero can get back in this series and be effective, boy, that could really start to change things and open stuff up for Miami's offense.
Keith Smith covers the NBA, Spot Rack, and the front office show on YouTube. Follow him on Twitter, Keith Smith NBA, Keith Smith NBA. This Jokic guy, Keith. I mean, you talk to a lot of general managers and a lot of assistant general managers. I mean, come on. He fell to the second round. Nobody thought he was going to be this. I mean, this is like Bill Walton-esque. You know, I'd even say, you know, greater than Cowens and Unseld. you know, this is how the game was played in the 60s and 70s, but we haven't seen this since Walton with the Blazers, really. I mean, has anybody said anything to you about how in the world they would try to play him?
Yeah, it's funny, you know, how they would try to play him. There's a belief of your best bet is you get to have someone who can get up in underneath him and really kind of bother his dribble, you know, get physical with him. But the challenge is that guy also has to have the size that Jokic isn't just going to turn his back to him, back him down, and put him in the goal. So that's where, you know, having that kind of big physical forward, but somebody who can also be quick enough to move their feet. And unfortunately, there's probably, you know, 7-8 guys like that in the entire league that can do that kind of defense and hold their ground physically and not get back down. So that's the problem. It's funny when you talk about the draft. I was just having a conversation earlier this week with an assistant general manager, and I said, what was you guys read on Jokic ahead of the draft? And he said, you know, our thought was maybe we can get him to lose some weight and get in better shape, and we can turn him into a four, because we're like, he's not going to be able to hold up, you know, as a five. And, you know, and he laughed about it. He's like, how ridiculously wrong was that? And, you know, that's the thing. You know, nobody saw this coming. You know, even the Nuggets folks that were around at the time will tell you, we're like, eh, you know, maybe he'll be a nice backup center someday. You know, maybe, you know, he'll evolve into being able to play the four some. And, you know, they didn't know they had this coming.
All right. From Denver's standpoint, the little comeback by Miami is almost what the doctor ordered, because now Malone can press them and say, you didn't play a full 48 minutes, and has things to correct. I thought this might have been the perfect win for Denver from that standpoint, that not only did they have a really comfortable game for three quarters, but they got scared enough in the fourth that Malone can press them and keep them keeping on, if you know what I mean, Keith.
No, yeah, I know exactly what you mean. That's exactly what Michael Malone's going to do. He's going to probably start film today with all the things they did bad. And, you know, I don't even know that it'll get into the things they did well. You know, they may, from a standpoint of, hey, more of this, but he's definitely going to let him hear it, especially the start to the fourth quarter where, you know, Miami just kind of came out and was like, all right, we're going to, you know, try to pick up the tempo a little bit. We're going to go. And I think, you know, Malone's going to say, hey, that can't be how this goes. We need to be the aggressors. We need to be better. And they got a little sloppy a few times. They don't do well when they get into the, you know, one or no pass possessions, and they come down and it's a quick shot right away. They want to work it. They want to make it work. So that's something he's going to, I think, probably hammer home as well.
Nuggets shot less than 30% from beyond the arc, too. I mean, they can play a lot better. 104 is a very low offensive output for Denver. Credit Miami to some extent, but yeah, there's still a lot of room improvement for Denver. He's Keith Smith, Spot Rack, the NBA front office show on YouTube. Follow him on Twitter at Keith Smith NBA, Keith Smith NBA. Listen, you covered the Celtics intimately for years up until a few days ago. A, did it surprise you that they brought Mazzulla back? And B, do you think they make a major move this offseason? Or do you think, in looking at the two teams and organizations in the finals, that Brad Stevens just continues to tinker around their core?
Yeah, on the Mazzulla question, we get to the East Finals, and I was convinced he was going to be back no matter what. And then it went so poorly in those first three games, and that game three especially, where the team just kind of quit and gave up. I thought if they had another game four like that, it was maybe in question if he'd be back. The reason why I thought he'd be back was they just gave him the full-time job and gave him an extension when they did that. So it's not generally, you know, par for the course for a team to pay somebody to not coach them. So that part, you know, him getting them to the game seven, you know, and I think game seven, you know, there's going to be a lot of people in the organization who are going to be like, hey, you know, credit to Miami, they probably would have won anyway, but if Tatum doesn't turn his ankle 26 seconds in, you know, what happens, you know, in that game? Does it go differently? What if Jaylen Brown doesn't play, admittedly himself, one of the worst games he's ever played, you know, what happens? So I don't think they're going to overreact to that. Now, the roster stuff, Brad Stevens said yesterday, he's like, we need to be a little bit better. And, you know, I mean, that's true, right? They were in the East Finals in Game 7. You can't, you know, the path to get there was weird, but you can't really kind of, you know, argue too much with that. You were right on the cusp. So I do think there is a chance. Now, what is also out there is there's the Jaylen Brown Supermax extension possibility. We'll see how that all plays out. And the looming CBA stuff with how limited the most expensive teams will be. We'll see if they start to make moves. I think you're going to see the Celtics and a handful of other teams in their kind of luxury tax situation start to make moves this summer to get things in line for what's to come over the next couple of years.
If you were running the Celtics, what would you do with Jaylen Brown?
I would offer him the Supermax because I can't see how you split up those two wings and then put it on him. And then if he balks and doesn't sign it, then you have to trade him because one player in the history of the NBA since the Supermax has been a thing has turned it down, and that was Kawhi Leonard, and we all know that's because he wanted to be traded. Nobody else has turned it down because the way the NBA works now is you take the money when it's offered to you, and then, you know, if you get a year or two, three in, and you're not happy, then you ask for a trade at that time. We've all kind of come to accept that's going to be how it'll play out. So I'd offer it to him, but if he balks and says, no, I'm not really sure about that, there's no way for him to make any more money. It's not even like if he has another big season, it'll be more money. It'll be, you know, whatever it's going to be anyway. So I would, at that point, then you have to look into a trade because that's a signal of probably doesn't want to be there and you can't risk losing him for nothing next summer.
Got about 30 seconds left. Is game two an absolute must for Miami, or do you think it's still a series if they go home down 0-2?
Yeah, I think it can still be a series because they are going home. I think that's the difference. If they were, you know, the higher seeded team and you go down 0-2, it's really tough to, you know, make it into a series. But, you know, I think, you know, it'd be great to win, right? If you're the lower seeded team, your goal is always let's get a split in those first two games. Let's steal home court advantage. Let's get home and kind of get to work there. So, you know, it's going to be, you know, tough. They're going to have to work because you said it, you know, Denver can play a lot better too. So it's not just Miami that, you know, had a rough night. I mean, there were parts for Denver that didn't go well too. So it's going to be a really fun series, I think, either way, no matter who wins. But yeah, you know, if you're the Heat, you definitely want to get game two just to even things up going back home.
Keith, you've been a friend of the show for years. We're very appreciative of it. We hope all is well with you and the family. Continued success when you make some changes this summer. And continue good luck with Spot Rack and the NBA Front Office Show on YouTube, and we'll talk soon.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Keith Smith, NBA, is how you follow him on Twitter. Keith Smith, NBA.
Clank.
If you weren't with us earlier, that was Felipe describing the Heat's performance in Game 1 in a nutshell. We're going to break down Game 1, Felipe. Break it down.
Clank.
Welcome back to Miller and Moulton, only on the Florida Sports Network.
It's 21 minutes past the hour. Miller and Moulton, Florida Sports Network, floridasportsnetwork.com. We're fired up. NBA Finals got underway last night. Denver won by 11. Stanley Cup Finals get underway tomorrow night. You remember the Florida Panthers. They haven't played in a month and a half or so, it seems. But also, Mark, we had a championship awarded last night. The night before National Donut Day, by the way. A couple of poll questions out about that. Big topic of conversation on the show. We had a championship awarded last night. And a Florida kid won it. National Spelling Bee. Remember when this was a thing? Like 10 years ago, it was like on ABC, for goodness sakes.
It was on network television.
Yeah, for a few years. It was kind of like, you know, poker. Remember, you know, I mean, poker's still out there and what have you. But remember, poker had like a handful of years where it was like the rage.
Yeah, then gambling became legal in most every state and poker wasn't right as important on television anymore.
Exactly.
SportsCenter Top 10. Iridocyclitis.
Gesundheit. Keep it to your damn self. All right. But remember the kid who, I forget what year it was, he faints. He's got 30 seconds. They tell him the word. He faints. And he gets back to his feet and spells it correctly within the 30 seconds. I mean, honestly, it's like Willis Reed coming out of the tunnel.
Jordan flu game performance right there.
Right, exactly. One of the greatest things we've ever seen.
You know you're on your own with this one because I didn't watch it when it was popular. I certainly didn't watch it last night.
I didn't either. Okay. But and listen, if you knew what network it was on last night, which I did, all right, that in and of itself is probably a bad sign for you. It was on ION television. ION, who the Pac-12 was negotiating with for a short period of time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They have like Blue Bloods, Law and Order, FBI reruns, and the WNBA. Hello.
Oh, so Blue Bloods reruns are on that channel. That's why you know where it is.
Exactly.
You get a cop, one-hour cop show. Moulton's got his name on that one.
At first, I got to get the clicker away from my wife. So, eighth grader from Largo won it. Dev Shah, S-H-A-H. Okay? Here's the word. Samophile. It's an organism that prefers or thrives in sandy soil. Of course a Florida kid would know this, right? Samophile. Starts with a P. P.S. Right away. All of us. Wrong. But if you knew that, this sucker's doable. Samophile. Think about it. Pedophile. We all know how to spell ophile. So now Samo. If you knew P.S., then Mark, your big decision is one M or two. If you knew how the word started, you're like, oh, wow, this is doable. Turns out it's two M's. P-S-A-M-M-O, file. There you go. An organism that prefers or thrives in sandy soil. You could have gone with stone crab. They went with samophile. So there you go.
Samophile.
Yeah, but just, you know, Florida, we are the Florida Sports Network. It's not sports, but I mean, it aired on television. So what the heck?
Hell, it used to air on ESPN.
Aaron Andrews would work the comfort room. I text her last night. I go, do you miss the comfort room? Milk and cookies and all. She did it for like 3 years.
Did she miss it?
She said no.
Okay. Well, I figured, I mean, you throw it out there, we got to at least get EA's answer
right
on the subject.
Right. She said she didn't miss it. Okay. She kind of, you know, moved on to Super Bowls and all. You know. But it was on ABC for a few years.
It was.
They'd use it to promote the NBA finals. It's like that damn dog show. That Westminster dog show is like one of the highest rated things on cable. So anyway,
I had seen a story. It you know, it pales in comparison to samophile.
Samophile.
But did you see this story about, you know, everybody's trying, you know, the McDonald's for a month and how unhealthy and all this? Guy did McDonald's for 100 days straight and lost 58.5 pounds.
Wow. What'd he do?
He ate half. He ate half. He did breakfast, lunch, and dinner at McDonald's for 100 days. Quit soda, did water. That's part one.
That's big.
That's a huge portion of it.
Part two, only would eat half of what he ordered. Did trying to break the myth that it's not the food, it's the portion control. And he didn't do any snacking and didn't drink any alcohol for those 100 days. Lost 60 pounds. Eating McDonald's, it can be done.
Well, what the hell do you do with the other half?
You don't eat it.
You throw it away? That's got to be a felony in some states, right? Come on.
It's called portion control. It's a philosophy that you and I have never really followed through on.
With all due respect, sir, and I don't mean you. I'm talking to the guy who lost the 58 pounds. By the way, good for you. Well done. But, sir, why do you go to McDonald's when you're worried about portion size? That would seem to be a contradiction. I mean, you know, does he throw it out or does he eat the other half like for lunch? Like, you know, they got the two burritos thing with the hash brown as a breakfast meal and the coffee. All right, so do you only eat the one burrito and then you eat the other burrito for lunch? Eat half the hash brown? By the way, can you stop halfway through a hash brown?
He did. He had portion control. That's restraint. He said he ate so small that by the time the next meal rolled around, he was starving.
I'm with David. You can't stop halfway through a McDonald's hash brown. You can't do that. You can't. It's not possible.
So you get the sausage and cheese on a biscuit and you only eat half? What the heck?
No interest?
No, I want to come up with a word to describe him. You know who he is?
Skinny.
He's a samophile.
He's skinny. You want a word to describe him? Skinny.
Where are you going to lose weight? McDonald's? What? Yeah. Dropping pounds like crazy. What? Of course, he's wasting a lot of money.
Same age as you. This can be done.
I was going to say, I could go to McDonald's 100 days in a row. Easily. No problem, in fact.
300 meals from McDonald's. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Done. Consider it done. Now, what I would eat in a day is probably what he eats in a week.
What if we just took you so you didn't feel like you were throwing food out? Instead of doing the quarter pounder meal, which is your go-to, you just do a cheeseburger and a small fry.
You know what? I cannot do the fries. I don't order a lot of fries. But I order multiple sandwiches.
Just go down to one. You start at one sandwich.
So one double cheeseburger is what you're saying?
One double cheeseburger.
Yeah, but I have it three times a day.
You're listening to Miller and Moulton. Exclusively on the Florida Sports Network.
22 minutes before the hour is up. Our final segment in Lake City and surrounding areas, Tampa, St. Pete, Port Charlotte, and Venice. The bonus hour awaits at the top of the hour in the 239 Miller and Moulton Florida Sports Network, floridasportsnetwork.com. He is the Big O, Orlando Alcigari. He's got the Big O Radio Show podcast weekdays at 10 a.m. But boy, has he been busy for the last 6 weeks doing special shows before and after Heat and Panthers games. He's back at it again. Follow him on Twitter at Big O Show, Big O Show. You getting any rest? I mean, you work hard, you party hard with all the concerts you go to. You have been grinding it.
You know, you only live once, brother. You know, you get plenty of time to rest. And when you're an insomniac, it's actually a really, you know, it's normal now. You know, so when you struggle to sleep as it is, you're always up. So while you're up, let's work. Let's have some fun. And let's take part in two things that we never thought we would be taking part in. So these playoffs. You know, like I just told your producer that, you know, the Heat they're playing with house money, man. It sucks to lose last night, but what are you going to do, man? I mean, you know, they're at a spot nobody expected them to be a month ago.
And, Orlando, you can look at last night and chalk it up to horrific shooting. You know, maybe the grind from the seven games and maybe not, you know, having the energy that they needed. But there's a lot, not necessarily excuses, but there's a lot of easy fixes for the Heat heading into game two, don't you think?
Yeah, look, Denver's the better team. I picked them in six. As much as I want the Heat to win, and my heart is with the Heat, but, you know, obviously your job and my job is to look at it and think, what do you think is really going to happen? So Denver's the better team. But Miami last night, strangely, if they shot better and if Jimmy came to play, Jimmy had no free throws? Are you kidding me? And I know that Bam was asked about it after the game, and I know he kind of downplayed it, but it had nothing to do with the referees not calling or anything like that. They didn't attack the paint like they should have when they were struggling with threes, whereas Denver killed you in the paint, and they can also shoot the three. And so Miami did not do a little bit of both. And then I'm really wondering, Jimmy Butler is injured, right? There's got to be something going on because it's game one. You didn't play with your hair on fire. How does Jimmy Butler go 0-0 from the free throw line? And that's because he wasn't attacking the rim like he normally does. And, you know, it was a rough one where you know that, excuse me, if a couple of the guys show up along with Jimmy, it could have been a different game last night, actually.
Orlando Alzagari, the Big O Radio Show podcast, 10 a.m. weekdays, and he does special shows in and around the Heat and the Panthers during their finals runs. Follow him on Twitter at Big O Show, Big O Show. Listen, these teams only play twice a year. So when I throw this stat out at you, I really don't know if it means anything. But, you know, the Heat and Nuggets have both been good here for the last few years. Denver's 10-1 in their last 11 meetings against the Heat.
Yeah.
Like I said, they only play twice a year, Orlando, so it's real easy to dismiss. But when you watch Denver, do you just look at them and go, you know, they do things that give the Heat problems?
They're better. Just they're better. I mean, Jokic is the best player on the court, and Jamal Murray, I can argue, is the second best player on the court. Jimmy would be number three. You know, if you had a big three, Jimmy would be your three for those guys. You know, let's be honest. Let's just call it like we see it. Jamal Murray is special, man. And then Porter has turned into a hell of a player, and he's, you know, a lot of people were concerned with his back when he got drafted. Former UMer Bruce Brown coming off the bench. Caldwell Pope. Also, I mean, they're loaded. They've got a really good team. They're deep. They're athletic. They're long. They're better than the Miami Heat. I mean, that's just the bottom line. Look, the Miami Heat is the best story in the NBA. It's a story that every coach can use as an example at every level of basketball because they overachieve. They're always playing hard. They're always trying to play the game the right way. They're playing with each other usually also, where they're making the right pass, the extra pass, to open up their teammates. So they use each other the right way. So it's a great example. But, you know, there are times where Princeton finally runs into a really good team. Maybe that's an old reference that only guys like you and me understand. But, you know, back in the day, for those that don't understand, Princeton had Pete Carril, I think it was the coach for many, many years. And he was a great, great coach, but he was there where he wasn't going to get the great players. But you knew every time you played that team, you were in for a mission because they played the game the right way. And, you know, once in a while, they'd give somebody a scare in the NCAA tournament and that kind of stuff. So it was a great story. And that's what the Heat are. They're a beautiful story of, you know, work and resilience and fighting and all that kind of stuff. But in the end, talent outweighs everything. And right now, you can see it. You watched it last night. When you watch what you were on display, you saw a much better team in Denver than Miami. Miami is, you know, got probably the edge in coaching and then the edge in the culture because obviously it's been in place for a quarter century. So all of that stuff is in place and that gives them a fighting chance. But Denver's got the goods, man. And you just got to give them props.
And this is the first time, Orlando, I don't know if you agree or disagree, but yeah, they have the edge in coaching, but it's an edge. It's not a canyon like it's been in the first three series.
Yeah. There's no doubt. That's that. You're right about that. Malone, obviously, you know, Brendan's son, a longtime assistant and a head coach too for a short time, was a hell of a coach in this league, and obviously his son has followed in his footsteps. He's done a terrific job, and the way they design that offense, and obviously how they have all those options off the pick and roll with Jokic and Murray, it's just, you know, fantastic. And the front office has done an excellent job because they've traded for certain guys, they've drafted certain guys, and hell, Jokic is the 41st pick in the draft, you know, and he has turned out to be the best player in the NBA. That's as impressive as it gets. We talk about the undrafted players here with Miami. You know, the Jokic story is pretty damn special, too.
It is. In fact, you know, Brady, the 199 story in the NFL, I have a feeling in the NBA they're going to be talking about pick 41 for a long time as well. Let's switch gears. Let's talk Panthers. You know, you've got your finger and more on the South Florida sports scene. Has the Heat kind of pushed the Panthers' special run to the side, or is this kind of like when a CVS and a Walgreens make sure they're catty corner and that one helps feed the other? Has the Heat actually helped people pay attention to the Panthers' run?
No, the Panthers have helped themselves to pay attention to their run, and when they've done that, now they're not going to be equal to the Heat, because basketball is bigger. Basketball has been more entrenched in this town, and kudos to Pat Riley and Mickey Arison. They have made us a basketball town. When we, you know, obviously we're a football town, but we have a lot of passion for basketball. Remember, I mean, with FAU and UM and Nova Southeastern, that kind of set the scene. Also, basketball has been pretty sweet down here, you know, overall. But the Panthers, you know, the way they play, how exciting they are, and what Tkachuk has brought to the table. You know, back in the 90s, it was, I covered those teams as a beat guy. And when they got to the Stanley Cup and going to practice, there were 200-300 people outside of Pompano Ice waiting for autographs. And there was a buzz in town. But it was kind of the same story of what the Heat is right now. It's kind of that Cinderella story and all that kind of stuff. With these cats, I think what we're seeing is, and even though they had a crappy regular season, it was more about changing the entire system. They were injured throughout the year. They didn't get healthy till the end of the year. And then the goaltender finally started playing to the level that they signed him 4 years ago. So it took like 4 years for Bob to kind of find his groove. And he finally found his groove, and then, you know, kind of everything's been put together. But Tkachuk and Verhaeghe and Barkov and Burnett and Montour and Duclair and all these kind of guys have really given the Panthers, you know, the town's attention. And so it's been pretty cool to watch that people do care more about the Panthers. There's more of a buzz, you know, finally, you know, in town. And kudos to the ownership, because this is the fourth straight year that they've made the playoffs. Something, you know, these are things that they've never done before. So now you're going deep into the playoffs, which is something that you need to do in order to sell it in this town. Remember, we're a transient town, like, you know, like Western Florida is too. People like myself are freaks. I was born in Belgrade, and which is the western corner of Palm Beach County, and raised here in South Florida. Very few people like myself exist in South Florida. We are the minority, actually. Real Floridians are the minority. And so it's just one of those things that in order to win people over, because they're from so many other places and so many other countries, when you're here in South Florida, you've got to kind of, you know, get them on board and things like that. So it takes a little bit. Heat, Panthers, Marlins, anything that isn't football, you're going to have to earn your audience. Like Larrañaga has earned his audience with college basketball. It's the same thing. And so the Panthers have done a really nice job of climbing that ladder. And all the kudos goes to Vinny Viola and Doug Cifu, who have created that as owners, because they have never shied away from spending money, keeping their own, making the trades that they have to make, get the best coaches, get the best GMs,
facilities, all of that. Everything that they do is top-notch and Class A. So that's the reason why the Panthers are growing. They've got an ownership group that is really making an effort here in this town.
Well, Bill Zito will go down with one of the best trades in hockey history with bringing Kachuk over. I mean, it's incredible being able to pull that move up, being able to sell ownership on what had to be done and them doing it. But with this being said, Orlando, we've got a couple minutes left. What do you think of this series? Because I think you look the same. You know, you already mentioned the Nuggets are better than the Heat. Well, I think Vegas is deeper and better than the Florida Panthers. Bobrovsky obviously can be the difference maker.
Yeah, and we saw that with Beazer when they couldn't score with a fistful of dollars, you know, in a woman's house. I don't want to say what kind of house on your show. I'd say it on mine, but I don't know about yours. But but this team, I think has got they've got the clutch guys to do it. Vegas is awesome. They're experienced. My Lord, has there ever been an expansion team like Vegas? Does anybody know an expansion team like Vegas in any sport whatsoever? I've never seen anything like this. This is a quality franchise from the second they came into the league. So, yeah, there's no doubt that they've got a ton of guys that you've got to worry about. But I really like the Panthers here. I think the Panthers are a hot team right now, and they're a confident team, and they're also well-rested, which I think that's a really good thing for them. The only concern I have is Bob's been off a lot, so now he has to kind of get back on the horse and kind of play the way he's been playing. But I love this Panthers team. They've got the kind of fight that I didn't think they had last year. And last year, you know, in the middle of those playoffs, I was like, you got to trade Jonathan Huberto. You can't be led by Barkov and Huberto because they're kind of mellow people. You need a star that is going to light a fire in people. And sure enough, they were able to, you know, the Kachuk trade ended up happening. But obviously, with Stevenson and Marcia Salt and Eichel and those guys, they've got some players on that team. There's no doubt about it. But I really think that the Panthers have enough defensively. And that goalie, if he's playing the way he's been playing throughout the playoffs, and eliminating, you know, Boston like they did in that first round, and then Carolina after that. I think Toronto was an impressive one, but Carolina and Boston were incredibly impressive. I think this team has everything you need to win it. And while Vegas might have the edge, I wouldn't be this one. I'm picking the Panthers. I picked Denver in the NBA. I'm picking the Panthers in this one, man. I'm going with the Panthers in six.
Orlando Alcegari, the Big O radio show podcast. You'll be doing it a little more than an hour, 10 a.m. weekdays, all the places you can get your podcast. Follow him on Twitter at Big O Show, Big O Show. Orlando, thanks. Congratulations on all your success, and we'll talk again later in the summer.
Thank you, my brother. All we do is survive. That's all we can do in this world. Y'all be good out there.
Orlando Alcegari, kind enough to join us once again here on Miller and Moulton.
I hate to say it, but Vegas is going to win this in seven.
Panthers have won 11 of 12 and 8 straight road games, but I'm with Orlando. It all depends on does the hot goalie stay hot after a 9-day layoff. Miller and Moulton.